Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
And I'm Camille.
And this is our show about anything and everything off-road. We are still socially distanced, except you guys are both on the East Coast and I'm out here in the Midwest by myself. Ross is holding a finger in the air like he needs to pause for a second.
No, I had an idea for a sticker, but no, Camille and I have actually met in person, which is more than we can say about most of our guests and also ourselves.
I was going to say, you and I have never physically been in the same place. We just happen to hang out on the internet.
Yes.
Missing much.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, buddy. I will go censor myself.
Like 4 feet tall in real life.
Dude, I'm shorter than... Actually, no, you've seen me since I had back surgery, so I'm at my, you know, my fighting stature, which
he's still growing.
Fight, so...
Fighting
milk,
stature.
Dude. Gotta drink that milk.
Oh, we talk about that a lot at our house too. Drink your milk. Anyway,
big milk, man. That's big milk propaganda.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's going nowhere really fast.
Ross, I live in a place. Yeah, I live in a place where they have front license plates that say "Eat Beef."
I love the "Eat More Chicken" ads. I gotta say, they're so funny. Also. Welcome to the Off the Topic Again podcast.
By the way, I have been told for $5 I can go get my own Eat Beef license plate if I want one for the front of the Suburban.
$5?
Yeah, you just go down to the Livestock Exchange and you can buy one for, or Livestock Association, and you can get one for $5.
Not like a DMV.
No. Oh. It's just it's a front plate. Like, we don't have front plates here, so like you can have a front plate that says Eat Beef, Kansas Livestock Association, I believe. So.
Real, do you guys have front plates? Do you have front plates
at the Livestock Exchange, which is just the whole separate topic that we can go into here?
Yeah, which of your livestock do you have to exchange for the license plate?
You get it from the Livestock Association, which is located in the old Livestock Exchange building. There's a place called the West Bottoms. It's where they used to keep all the cows before they were headed to the slaughterhouses.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, it's not really that sad.
Except it's animals.
Yeah.
Get it. No.
Massachusetts has front plates, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There used to be it's a relatively recent law, like, I guess, 1990s, where they made the front plate mandatory. But if you had that single plate that was a different style and color, that was rear-only plate, and you could keep that plate and keep transferring to your new cars.
So you know...
Yes, so people are not giving them up, so they can have no front plate on their cars, and it's a whole license plates are crazy here in New England.
They are.
But having the old green Massachusetts plate is like a super asshole status.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Yeah, that's a that's like a stand your ground.
Right, and you're not supposed to. renew them. Like, you're not supposed to repaint them if the paint fades. They just expect you to turn them in and get new ones. Guess what people do?
It's still legible.
Yeah.
This is America. We don't actually follow the rules. We just bend them to our will.
I was driving with my daughter home from school today, and I said, "Hey, look! Everybody's honking at this guy because the light turned yellow, and he actually stopped."
He didn't go.
I mean, here, a light turn yellow is either indication to floor it for most people, or stand on the brakes like you're stopping to not run over a child. There's no in between.
Right. So this guy stopped at 5:30 in the afternoon in downtown Boston at a yellow light.
That's remarkable. Yeah.
This is why, you know, road rage exists.
In New York, you get a 5 count after the light turns red, and it's still...
Yeah, there's at least 4 to 6 more cars that will make their way through. That's actually... It's funny you're talking about that. Like, we're going through a evolution of driving style here, because we're, as a metro area, we're divided by a state line. So there's Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas on the other side. Mm-hmm. But there's been such an influx of population here, not nearly what it is in, like, Austin or the other, like, popular cities in the Midwest. But we've had so many people move here that the driving styles have changed, where it used to be the speed limit was exactly 5 over or you were immediately pulled over.
Yeah.
That is not the case anymore. It has been wild to watch it happen.
there's also the COVID effect. And I know we've talked about this, and I know other podcasts and people have talked about this endlessly, but driving during COVID was kind of lawless.
Mm-hmm.
You could basically drive however you wanted at any speed you wanted and be fine. And
there
it's
was no one else in the road.
Because, yeah, exactly. At one point, my, 20-minute commute had turned into, a 6-minute commute.
So normal time it should take you to drive between those two destinations.
Yeah, without traffic, yes, without, yeah. without, civilians. But people are still kind of getting themselves together to reacclimate to the ways of societal driving. So,
but, I got a story for you. So how you said, you don't get pulled over unless you're doing something stupid or you're doing 15 or 20 above the limit. So my friend's daughter, who's I think 19, got a speeding ticket the other day on it's called Mass Pike. So
Route 80. Good old Mass Pike.
Yes. She was doing 70 in a 65.
Really? And what does she drive?
A Volvo. A white Volvo.
That's just bad luck. That's...
No, it's not bad luck. There was more going on that she neglected to tell her father about.
Oh.
And was still trying to figure out exactly what happened with that.
So 70,
five,
dude.
The ticket for 5 over was a goodwill gesture on part of the cop.
She wasn't actually clocked.
She used her Fifth Amendment right against her father. She remained silent and she lawyered up against him, basically.
I love this because Camille's just guaranteeing that he has to come back on the show to wrap up this story in the future.
Yeah, when's the statute of limitations up on this?
I don't think we're ever going to find out what happened.
Dude, also though, 70 on the Mass Pike is dangerously slow for at least in Western Massachusetts. If you're doing 70,
she wasn't going. Let's just say she wasn't going 70.
Dude, the Mass Pike is an interesting experience because it's one of those highways that changes so. It's like a dichotomy and in absolute polarity between Western Mass and where it ends in Eastern Mass, from the country to it's getting to be kind of city based and people drive completely differently, but the speed limit is the same.
So speaking of driving in certain roads, what road would you actually choose to drive the Colorado ZR2 on?
Ooh, that is a great question.
Because we know it marked your driveway.
Yeah, I don't think it's a pre-pro. The one that I saw had a 2023, 2024. I don't know offhand, but the new Colorado ZR2, the third gen Colorado, and it looks awesome. There's no denying that. I don't think it was a pre-production vehicle, but I do think it wasn't a very early build, before they were actually producing them for consumer hands, and it may or may not have left its mark on my driveway.
Leaks of oil.
Leaks of things, which, again, it's an early model. It's an early truck. It's a press vehicle that had 4,500 miles on it, which multiply it by a lot.
7, 10.
Yeah. And the skid plate was bashed in, so who knows what life it lived before it was in my hands.
It took a flight.
It took a flight. It saw some shit, probably. I would choose to drive a Colorado ZR2 on an unrestricted fire road would be perfect for it, because it kind of thrives when you're just fucking ragging on it. It's not happy. It's fine around town. It does its thing. And it's Chris has shown a picture now of the U-Haul trailer that I had hooked up to it with the Polaris Scrambler that sadly goes back in a couple weeks. But yeah, the U-Haul trailer that I had behind it is 2,300 pounds and the quad's 900 pounds. So 900 pounds dry with fluids, we're probably close to 3,500 pounds with all the shit that I have on the quad. But it wasn't happy with like 3,500 pounds of weight behind it. So
it is a cool looking truck.
I like the way they look.
The sixth gen Camaro styling has really done Chevy's aesthetics department well upon them. It looks great. Like it really has presence. It actually, it doesn't have dick wheels, which is nice. So,
which is the Canyon, right?
No. Well, yes, but also others.
So, what, you know, the only time I saw this new truck was at the New York Auto Show, which you missed this year.
I did.
And sad. I sat in it, and I started looking around the interior. There's one thing that was painfully missing.
Headlight switch.
And it was the switch for the headlights.
Yeah. That's like such a tricky thing because they say that they're doing it so that it can be included in the technology because everybody wants technology. So it's on the screen. It's a permanent click on the top of the center screen.
They're doing it to say 5 cents, not to include it.
Exactly. That lower dash panel, if they don't have to mold in the cutout for the headlight switch and they don't have to include the headlight switch and the wiring and, you know, all the controls behind it, it saves them money. And it is, I only noticed it when I went to turn on the fog lights and I was fumbling around underneath. I was like, oh wait, shit, there, I have to go in and click and touch and do, you know. Yeah,
so it's in this screen.
It's all in the screen. Yeah, which, I mean, we're all of, you know, the same mindset. Like, we're not, there's a huge disparity between what the automakers think people want and what people actually want. And we saw that with like the current GTI Golf R, you know, the Volkswagen debacle.
You on guys switch probably, gear, you mean?
Yeah, you guys want physical things to turn things on and off. In a truck.
I do.
Yeah, in a truck, especially, you want something where you can have gloves on and do it and not have to like think about where you're clicking. And anyways, the Colorado ZR2, we'll talk about it more next week, I think, but it looks fucking awesome. I will say
that. It
does
look good.
And and especially in like that desert yellow, that or whatever, that yellow and the blue that they have, man, it looks so good. Like,
man, I wish I knew we were going to talk about this size pickups. You know what I drove over the summer, and because I'm a loser, I still neglected to write this up. Is a European spec of the new Ford Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yes. The new one.
So
the new one.
That's interesting because it's actually new,
with a diesel engine. One of the two diesel engines.
Which one?
I don't remember.
Great show. Great show.
Right-hand drive, left-hand drive. Paint us a picture here.
Okay. Chris, if you go to my Twitter feed, I stopped posting on Twitter, you will find pictures of it there.
Oh, man. Twitter?
Yes, I quit it. I know. But you'll find pictures of it if you go scroll to my timeline from like August. It's like yellowy-orange thing going on. It had the weaker of the two diesel engines. It had a 10-speed transmission. It's a lot
they
like
all
the Ranger.
I've
got to be honest with you. The interior is better. It had a really cool roll-up cargo cover. I'm going to write about this because the interesting part about it is that they developed the same vehicle for a global market as opposed to having a you know, like a continent-specific vehicles. So you're going to have this in Australia, North and South America, and in Europe.
That's how we got our current Ranger, which I specifically remember getting into with you at the New York Auto Show in like 2018 or 17 and looking at each other and being like, not good. This feels like it's 2009. Like, this is just bad. Because it was probably 2017 or 18 and the truck launched in 2011.
Yeah. Yes, but this one, it was a lot like it, but the interior, it wasn't like a revolution. It was more of an evolution. The diesel engine, I love diesels. I didn't like it.
Really?
Is it turbo? Turbo diesel or just
yes? Okay. Yeah, diesel is turbo now. Yeah.
What didn't you like about
it? You could ask me if it's carburetor or not. Yes, it's a turbo diesel, but it had torque, but it wasn't. It didn't have the guts that I expected. Like if you ever drove the old Grand Cherokee diesel or one
of the Land Rover 3-liter Eco diesel.
Yeah, those things hauled ass. That one didn't.
Love that engine.
You love it until you own it with like 80,000 miles on it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I don't own one.
I've been looking at used ones.
Don't do that to yourself.
There's things you can do.
We had this conversation offline.
Yes.
There's things you can do that are called extended warranties.
None. Even that is not going to help you. You got to do some borderline illegal shit.
Depends what state you live in. Okay, so these are
federal.
Hold on. So these are pictures of the truck that you
drove. Yes. So see the bed cover?
No, because it's
a power cover that rolls up. That was really cool.
That's actually pretty cool. That's like straight out of the Rivian textbook.
Very much so.
The old Rivian textbook, because that's not something they sell anymore.
Oh,
yeah. So inside you see basically, you know, the design language of modern Ford with the big vertical screen.
It's a Mach-E screen.
Yeah. It had a volume knob and a tune knob, I think.
The little circly
are over there.
Guy in the middle.
I think the temperature in the middle. I don't remember.
Volume's in the middle, and then it's dual climate control.
Yes. Look at you. Yeah, so it didn't have a tune knob, which I sometimes like. I listen to a lot of satellite radio, and sometimes you just want to go one station over. But that's just me. But yeah, it was a pretty cool truck. It was a huge truck. This was in Poland, so it looked bigger than anything else around.
It's a full-size truck in Poland.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But people still don't get it. It's like, why are you driving a farm vehicle? And I'm like, no. This is four cars in a row. This is a luxury car. It's got leather, heated sun, you know, sunroofs and all this other stuff. It's a five-passenger vehicle. It's a big sedan. It's a pickup truck. It's a tow truck.
It's an off-roader. Vehicle. Yeah.
It's an off-roader. It's a comfortable cruiser. It does everything. And this is why pickup trucks are
spot. Yep. So it's a very misunderstood segment, both here and elsewhere. In Australia, they get it.
Yeah. If you know it, you know it. And that's why there's so many repeat buyers.
It looks
a great truck.
Not exactly, but almost identical to the outgoing one.
I was hoping for a Raptor, but they didn't have one.
Ooh, the Raptor. The problem with the Raptor is that you gain all this amazing capability and performance and whatnot, but you lose. Like, one of the best things, driving this Colorado 02 for a week, I can park it in normal parking spots in the city that I live in. And it's not, you know, like, unusably wide and, like, a terrible thing to spend time in because it inconveniences everybody and, like, it makes opening a door to take a child out terrible. But once you go to, like, the wide-body trucks, you have to think about things differently.
Bro, dude, this is still a Ranger. So even as a Raptor, it's narrower than
I ain't going in my Ford.
You Googling?
I'm using the Google. Ford Ranger FX4. So an FX4 is 73.3,
let's note that.
And a Ranger
Raptor 79 inches.
So I mean, hey, 5 inches is a big difference.
Yeah, but it's only 2.5 inches per side.
Chris, in the Northeast, 2.5
inches. Yeah, I live in truck country. I have no, like, I'm like, the funny thing to me is the Ranger Raptor, that's the same width as the Sequoia.
Right.
No, the Sequoia, a full-size Toyota product, is 80 inches wide.
Oh, somebody in my city just, or they have probably had it the whole time, but I just started seeing around, they have a second gen TRD Pro Sequoia.
Nice.
It's that dark green. It's very pretty.
Oh, fuck. That's the one to get. Did you like my dumb concept or line I did yesterday?
Secundra.
Sometime ago, I said that there will be 3-row pickup trucks at some point.
There definitely will. I mean, Hennessy's doing it, which means other people who have like less credibility are doing it.
Are you guys forgetting Centurions exist?
That sounds like a creature with a head on something that a human head. Also, the Ranger Raptor is 5,400 pounds?
I mean,
the Ranger Raptor's 5,400 pounds.
So it weighs as much as a Suburban. So this is a...
It's 1,000 pounds more than an FX4.
Here comes the Centurion.
1,000 pounds more than an FX4.
It's a lot of muscle they put in it. I love those things.
So these are F-350s with the body closed in on the back. Yeah. Yep. I just needed to be a Toyota product so I can have all the same reliability I have in my other... Sorry. The impetus for this is the Suburban's been acting up lately and it's driving me fucking nuts. But the Centurions have existed for a long time. Like that.
Yeah. It does exist. It's a second-gen Sequoia. You have it.
No, I need more cargo space behind the third-row seat.
What's surprising is how long it took the automotive manufacturers to realize that there's this big niche in the market that has only the Suburban in it in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Four-door full-size SUV. Like,
it's a crazy...
And now they're all Tahoe-based. I just need... I want a Sequoia XL. Just give me... Whatever the difference is, give me 18 more inches at the back of the truck.
Jeep's got you covered.
Yeah, I saw after Wagoneer.
See, I said I wanted my Toyota reliability still there.
I was blasting up the Merritt Parkway in the Chevy Trax all-wheel drive RS, and I saw a Wagoneer get on in front of me, and the back of that thing is just blocky as blocky gets. It was black, and it had the... There's usually like chrome trim around the window, and there's usually like a chrome plate.
I don't like them.
And
I
that
think
was
they look
all
horrible.
Blacked out, and the only thing that was chrome was Wagoneer across the back, and it looked fucking terrible. And like, I like the Wagoneer. I had a great time in the Wagoneer that they loaned me, and it had the best stereo of any vehicle I've ever driven.
They are comfortable.
Oh, it was the second best highway cruiser of any vehicle that I've ever driven.
What's your number one?
Huh?
What's your number one?
A couple
the
weeks
Suburban
ago,
diesel.
Suburban High Country with the 3-liter Duramax was the best. It was just like another level. But I also have a, you know, this is opinion based, and I love that 3-liter diesel. So
they just introduced an updated Suburban today.
Saw that. Yeah. And the diesel gets another 35 pound-feet of torque. Which it didn't need, but it's
awesome.
See, front,
that it has
the front of the that's the Wagoneer L, which I mean that is literally the size of a New York City, you know, newcomer apartment.
Yeah, that see that, but that's this is where I have to live with so many damn kids, which is again my fault. I get it. That but like the Ford Expedition Max gets close. Because it's a little longer, but then you have to deal with EcoBoost air rat. Like, the Sequoia works. It just needs another 10 to 15 cubic feet of space in the back of it.
Yeah, well, that's why you have.
Speaking, this just hit me from 2 summers ago. I'm at a beach here in Massachusetts, and like a Ram Dually pulls up, you know, the 4-door crew cab or whatever they call it, the quad cab. And the bed, because the dually was prepared for a gooseneck or a fifth wheel trailer.
Yep, fifth wheel.
But behind the cab, in the bed, was like a cab extension. So the mother and the father get out from the front. 3 kids get out from the back seat, mm-hmm. and then out of that little extension behind the cab, two more kids get out. Now, I don't know if this is a Southern or a Midwestern thing.
It's both.
But that blew my mind.
Yeah. It's also a great way for a whole bunch of people to die if you have an accident.
Listen.
Jesus will save
common
them.
Sense doesn't apply.
I didn't need to go there. My bad.
I'm just saying it was eye-opening for me.
Yeah. That's how I ended up with my... I can't even find the photo of it anymore. Like, why can't I find the photo
of your own vehicle?
Of my dumb concept thing that I made.
Oh, it's in the Hooniverse chat in the Slacky.
Here, I finally got it. It is not... I am not good at Photoshop. I will 100% admit that.
It looks like something that would have sold for about 35 grand over during the COVID boom on Cars and Dids.
Isn't that Barrett Jackson?
And you say you're not good at Photoshop. This is amazing.
Oh, I'm not. My favorite part is I was able to make sure that I could still see the trees through both sections of rear windows on the Sequoia as well.
I'm proud of myself for my Microsoft Paint work. So let's keep those egos in check.
Camille, a lot of my issue is this is where it becomes interesting is you. This has to be a double cab, not the Crew Max cab on the Tundra, because if you go with the Crew Max, the bed is so short on the back of the truck that the rear door of the Sequoia doesn't fit in front of the tire.
Hmm.
If you're doing all this, why don't you just extend the wheelbase?
I'm not doing any of this. I don't have any money or fabrication skills.
You have a plan.
No, I'm just going to buy another dumb Suburban because nobody else will make one that's more reliable. Like, I swear to God, if they built this, like a Sequoia XL, I'd place the order immediately.
So the biggest vehicles you can buy that are sub-commercial, sub-2500 grade are the Suburban and the...
Ford Expedition Max.
Max.
You've got to think outside the box.
Wagoneer L.
You have an extra $50,000.
I want to know what Camille's going to say.
Nope. I'm going to say a four-wheel drive van.
Yeah.
The Transit comes in all-wheel drive. The Sprinter.
Let's just say I've spent a lot of
time. Chris worked for one of those companies. Like
I spent a lot of time in a Transit.
Yeah.
The drivability of the Suburban size is so much better. And I drove mid-roofs. I drove high roofs.
You off-road drivability.
So I live in Kansas where wind is an issue, specifically crosswind, because for whatever reason, when you're driving I-70, the wind's either out of the north or the south, which means it's blowing across the road constantly. And I drove frequently, we call them ELs or extra long. So it was the extended rear of the van with the dually rear axle. And it was okay. But man, if that wind was blowing some enough, you'd be like, a gust would put you in the left lane.
We just had Chris from you join on.
Yeah.
You could make it into a Ninja Turtles van.
I don't think anybody's done Ninja Turtles yet. So.
That wasn't on my podcast bingo for tonight.
Ninja Turtles van reference?
No. Yeah.
I played with those toys. I remember those things.
I watched that show.
I had the van. The van was badass.
It was. Oh, my gosh.
Where are we going from Ninja Turtles van?
I was going to say, what's next on your topic?
So I did take a trip in the Suburban. Ooh, I went out and back to...
adventuring.
Yeah. I went and got snowy. Peter Clark from Baseline Overland, he and I got together out in Boulder. Basically, I drove to Peter's house, actually.
To back up, Chris, usually you tell me when you're going on any kind of trip like this, or when there's some kind of vehicular project involved. And I just got it snowed the whole time.
Yeah.
Message afterwards.
I forgot to give Ross the update that where I was headed. So
yeah. So
the way out
Colorado's.
Yeah, the way out wasn't too bad. So in 37 hours total, I went out and back. This was the way out, and this is because you can never get like the feel of this, but the snow is blowing across the road. I will shout out
pretty and scary.
Yeah, it was gorgeous, but I, to be honest, it wasn't really that scary because what have I just put on the Suburban was a set of brand new Michelins Defender LTX MS2s.
Are they're three-peak tires?
I don't know that I've seen the three-peak on it. I don't think I've seen the actual icon, but it's the MS. M&S stands for mud and snow.
Fair point. That doesn't mean they're three-peak rated.
Correct. I need to go back and double check.
The Duratracs I had weren't three-peak rated, and they were the best tires I've ever run in the snow. So
now they actually make all-season three-peak tires, like passenger car tires.
All-season or no season?
The Michelin Cross Climate 2 is one of those.
Yeah, my parents run those on their Ascent.
Those are such a great tire.
Yeah, so Chris got some tires from Michelin, and as you were saying, you were not worried.
Well, part of it is also is the weight of the Suburban.
Can I raise my hand here for a second?
Yeah.
You were saying you're driving through snow. Can you go back to the picture?
That one's not the snowy one.
This is dusting.
That was when we left his house.
Like maybe this is a geographical thing, but they wouldn't call this snow here. This would be just like flurries.
Right. But that was at 80 miles an hour.
Oh, there's pictures coming that'll tell different stories.
Yeah. This is so headed out eventually. And the reason I took that photo is because the road was basically clear. Like I wasn't risking anything to take a photo while I was driving. Mm. Later though, the left lane became snowpacked. The right lane was the only open lane. There were a couple, three times where I then moved out into the left lane to go around slower semis. So we're only doing like 45, 50. And dude, those tires were great. It's normally a rear wheel drive truck, right? And I ran it in
four auto. Yeah.
Four auto, which to Chevy stands for all wheel drive.
It's automatic. It's rear wheel drive with like a little bit of sensing going on to the front, and then as soon as the back slips, it's
center differential.
Yes,
kind of. Yeah,
I will find you. It is.
But by the time I got out to Denver, Camille, like it was, there were 3 inches on the ground by the time we got there. When we woke up the next morning, there were 6 inches. Yeah. And the weird part about when it snows here heavy, you have to worry about things being closed. When I woke up and I was like, oh man, there's 5-6 inches of snow on the ground. Like I was kind of worried about like the coffee shop being closed. No, everybody there is up. God. They've gone to work. Like it was fine. I did get
to stay out. It's like they've seen snow before.
Yeah. And regularly I used to, years ago when I was still teaching middle school, I was thinking about going to like live up over the Front Range from Colorado Springs. And I asked him about snow days and he goes, it had to be more than a foot after midnight to cancel school.
Hardcore.
If we got full like, snow, I don't think we've got full snow here.
Right?
I'm okay with no snow on the ground as long as I can ski.
Yeah, you're right. You're one of those.
Yeah. So
yeah, those tires are fucking awesome. My brother and I drove my dad's 2500 out to Pennsylvania and back on Friday with those same tires, and they are. You can't hear them, which
no road noise whatsoever,
and they track great, and they like coast beautifully.
But,
they're awesome,
tires. They look like ordinary tires.
They do correct. Look like ordinary tires. There's a thread, and Chris and I have talked about this. There's a thread on I Hate Mud that is like the Michelin LTX MS2 is all the all-terrain tire that almost everybody needs.
100%.
It's not really an all-terrain tire, if I were to classify things the way I classify things, but it's
doing the job.
It's the end-all be-all. Of highway.
If you go into tire rack, did I mention I was geeking out on tires a lot lately? And I'll tell you why later. But if you go into tire rack now and you select categories, they give you all-terrain on-road.
They do. All-terrain
off-road. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference that you're drawing right there.
Yeah. They,
the same category.
It's weird. Like, because BF Goodrich has, like, four different all-terrain tires. There's, like, the trail terrain and...
KO2 and KO3.
KO3, allegedly.
It doesn't exist.
On the Raptor.
It does exist in some instances where they want...
it's in two sizes with OEM only. They never issued a press release for it. I asked them about it, and they're like, oh, we don't have anything to say about the KO3. Love the people at BF Goodrich, but it's like,
yeah,
come on.
I have a set of KO2s coming, which I know I'm very, very late to the party, but I inquired about KO3s, and it was like, mom, like, no.
Yep.
Like,
so. Again, I've been cross-shopping a lot, and one thing I noticed, here's what happened. You know, we said we're going to talk about my Land Cruiser Prado that I just sold.
Yes. Just, it was like, that was a month ago already.
Something like that. I mean, it's fine. Who's coming? One of the things I didn't like about it was the ride. And I realized where I went wrong. I went with the KO2 tire. It's a horrible
thing. What? Load range.
It's the first one I got to.
So you lifted it a little bit on what, like Iron Man?
No, this was an Iron Man 4x4, yes.
Okay, and...
So two things.
What load range were the tires?
That's where I messed up. Because the size I needed only came in load E.
Yeah, that's...
So, this, between really bad roads here where I live, and I went cheap on the shocks. I didn't get the higher up Iron Man 4x4 shocks.
You went not Foam Cell Pro, but you went Nitro something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So the combination of the stiffer springs, the heavier tires, and not enough shock.
Right.
I did not like the ride of it.
People forget, people in the off-road world who are just looking for a tire, and they go to like 285/70/17, which is like the most standardized tire size in the off-road world. They forget that the sidewall of the tire also serves as supplemental suspension.
Yep.
You know, you have the seat, you have the body and the chassis and how all of that works together in the suspension. And then you have the tire. And the tire actually helps absorb things, but E-rated tires.
What's the first thing that hits a pothole? It's not tires. Your shock, it's your seat, it's not your spring.
And
your
tire. I don't know, what ply were the... They were KO2s, right? KO2s,
low E, I think they were
probably six or eight ply.
Okay.
Yeah, so the...
My defense is 275/70/17 they're only offering low E.
That's
for KO2s.
That's an abnormal size in general, though.
Yes, but had I gone size bigger, it would be rubbing a lot. Had I gone size smaller,
it would have looked a little pinky.
I should have went size smaller. Let's be honest.
But, yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't look as cool.
My 285, my Toyo ET3s are low E, and they're amazing tires. I don't doubt that I could get 60,000 miles out of them, but they have no pliability.
So I have the low C on the Bronco, relatively the same size vehicle, this a little bit heavier probably. They ride great, and they're 285s. They're 33-inch versus 32-inch, and I have no complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Prado tires.
Oh yeah, and you had the same wheels as me, but in black.
Yeah,
which are cooler. They're great wheels. They're like 24.5, 25 pounds a wheel, which is very light. Really. Can we talk? So,
Chris, if you go into my Instagram, you'll see like the latest and greatest pictures of it. When I was selling
the listing.
No. Just go to my Instagram site, and there's like 10 pictures that I posted. There's like the last 2 pictures that I took of it.
What Sorry, was Josh. The final straw?
There wasn't. So I bought it with the idea of keeping it for about a year.
Because
I knew that, yes, because I knew that after a year, my daughter was going to have a permit, which she does.
Mm.
And I didn't want her learning the behavior of driving a right-hand drive car because there's really no purpose for it.
Right.
It's one of the first features. But,
congratulations to her for her purpose.
Thanks.
And condolences to you for your nerves.
I'll let it slip. So,
I went to this one earlier. They were cropped.
These ones. Yeah, okay. That's Instagram just messing things up.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you didn't post them on Threads.
I deleted my Threads account.
Already? Where was it going with this? I don't know. You made me log back into the Twitter for the first time in like 6 weeks.
I want the Prado rear door.
So yes, I knew my daughter was going to drive. I know I didn't want her driving on the right-hand side. But also, you know what I didn't like? Is when I was daily driving it, if somebody was to hit me, tap me, I would have to go searching the world literally for like a bumper cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
If I got a crack in the windshield, I would have to import a windshield from Australia probably.
But
or something like this.
At least
that was stressing me out.
At least you had that. When I had the Viacross, somebody almost hit me like broadside, and I was like, there are literally no body panels left. It's like a DeLorean. Like somebody bought stock, they put it on a shelf, and then once it's gone, that's it. You're like paying to mold your own panels.
So I'm a big fan of owning cars that I don't care too much about, or that if cars get broken, I can just repair easily. And this was none of these things. I cared about it a lot. I loved it. And I knew that if something got broken, it would be a challenging thing to fix it. So
okay.
I knew it was going to sell after a year, so it had to go.
Okay. So you did well upon your promise to yourself then. Do we want to talk about what might be next? And if it's a 4Runner with body kit and a GX front end?
How long is the show? How much time do you have?
I was going to say, I'm going to go ahead and pull up all of our text chain Slack channel. Like, dude, there's so many conversations.
I got a lot of friends who send texts and pictures of shit they might buy, but you have sent some really... like out there stuff over the last few weeks, and I know you weren't.
Okay,
I know
what could possibly go wrong with a 2003 G500 that had 5 owners.
Probably less than the 4Runner you sent a couple days ago.
Was that the one with the Lexus front end?
Yes,
yes.
I'd say a G500, the 20-year-old G500, is less likely to be problematic.
G500 has 185,000 miles on it.
Oh,
gosh. It's been parked for the last 4 years. What could possibly go wrong?
What could
possibly go wrong? Is that an actual link to that one? Or you just, I feel like you took a screenshot. It was like, why I'm not going to go the G-Wagon route.
Oh, so that, I was doing research on the G-Wagon route. And the guy is like, oh, it's a very great track. Everything is good on it. Except sometimes it does weird things. Like when I take the ignition key off, the engine will still keep running. Just weird things like that. So I'm an electrical engineer. I can sort of in my mind think that I can address some of these things, but another part of me is like, I don't even want to bother. So this guy who's selling this G500 that I just mentioned, I said, is there anything wrong with it? And he's like, yes, the seat only moves forward, but it doesn't go backward. Yes, 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 yes. So what's my question? How do you know it doesn't go backwards? Because it doesn't go backwards. So how do you move it back?
How far forward has it gotten? That, like,
before he understands it doesn't go backwards.
Backwards, but only if you press one of the presets that is preset on the seat being back.
So it's a switch.
What?
That's the problem.
Switch problem.
Yes. That's relatively... assuming you can get the parts and assuming the wiring is viable. Like, that's pretty minimal as far as things
go. Another problem, he says, the sunroof doesn't open. Okay, I can live with that. And the third problem, he says, the AC.
What year was this?
2003.
Okay, the AC doesn't work. I know a guy who can help you with that. That guy's me.
You can do AC?
I
It might be a day job thing.
Might. I might work for a company that sells products that.
What color was this thing?
Like,
I'm just trying to get us a representative image.
There's
homie. Is there a way that I can share a screen over here?
There's a guy in Bedford. So I drive through the town of Bedford to go to my parents' house kind of frequently.
I got a silver one for you.
And there's one person who has that era G in like traditional military green with perfectly clear, untinted windows and no running boards and like the smallest wheels that fit on that body. And it looks awesome. And they always just have it covered in mud. And it's so, like...
That sounds so sexy.
Every time I drive past it, I'm like, I should stop and ask if they want to sell it.
Can I send you a message on here?
You can definitely send a chat, yeah. There's a chat window down there.
So while we're talking about your hopes and dreams, how's the Bronco? Yes,
I also looked at a WRX. I looked at a Toyota 84. I've looked at pickup trucks of all kinds. I'm all over the board. I have a problem.
Just buy a weird Toyota 4x4 and stop thinking.
You mean the one he already owned?
No, there's plenty of other weird Toyota 4x4s.
You know what I'm really thinking about?
Oh my gosh, now I want to know.
Okay. All right.
How would I know?
Porsche Macan S.
A Macan?
You can get a good one for like 35.
You can get tickets for it, and you can easily fit a 30-inch all-terrain tires on 18.
You can.
And it looks really cool. If you Google Macan Safari, you'll get a few cool.
Yeah, you can get a real good.
Macans, you can have for about 20 grand.
35, you can get a great Macan S. The only problem is the early, first.
You're thinking Cayenne. Macan is a smaller guy.
I'm saying, did you say Cayenne?
No, he said no, Macan. Yeah, no,
I said, one. I said Macan. Macan, whatever it is.
How are you going to fit a 35-inch tire on the Macan?
Who said 35?
You just did.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't.
Best show ever.
I can't
ever.
Fit 35 on my fucking GX Prado.
All right.
You said 35. Somebody wasn't.
He said 30. He said 30s.
A 31 on a Macan would be awesome.
It would be less awful than what Chris is showing.
I was going to say.
That's what came up.
I was going to say the first few years of the Macan that you're probably looking at, just most, if not all of them, have sunroofs and the sunroofs leak. Just be wary of that.
Somehow I feel that's the least of the problems.
That looks awesome. That is
something like that.
Dude, that is like if you want a Golf R and you want it to be a rally car, just get that. It's like a GLA 45, but without the Mercedes fuckery.
Reason 75 why I sold the Prado, it was a bit slow on me.
Okay. A bit?
It made it up some hills. But it was
you got to remember, Camille is like 90s Honda hair on fire guy. Like,
and also driving around a city where like everybody jokes that or says, yo, you don't need a car to be fast in the city because you're just going stoplight. But if you're trying to merge in a city or like.
You need to be quick,
From stoplight to stoplight, yeah.
So I gave up. I wasn't even trying with that thing. It's just like, cut me off. You're just going to do it. But I do miss that a little bit of zippiness. And I just had a Mazda CX-30. And that was a very cool zippy car. But I couldn't live with that.
They're okay. Would you have the turbo or the...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the turbo in that is actually pretty good.
It's pretty sweet. I didn't love the car overall.
The CX-30 is a stopgap between what was the CX-3 and what is now the CX-50.
Except the CX-50 is significantly a better vehicle in every measurable way.
Oh, it's $7,500 more in every capacity, but it's 10 grand more worth of car.
Yeah.
CX-50 is nice.
Every Mazda, though, the infotainment system just pisses me off.
Oh my god. My wife has a CX-5. She's on her second CX-5. This is a new fun thing. We've had almost no problems with these cars over the last 6 years, 5 years, but the infotainment is terrible, and CarPlay is perpetually...
Here is what you can do. If you're listening to the radio, which 5% of us still do, and you have the Apple CarPlay displayed in the car, you literally cannot change the radio station.
In a CX-5, in a modern car? Yes.
I can't say that.
You have to get out of the CarPlay screen and go into the entertainment section, and only then you can change the radio station.
Hmm.
So I can't do that in the Suburban either. If I'm in CarPlay or Android Auto, I have to hit the radio button to then change the AM FM to what I want to listen to.
Steering wheel controls?
Even with the steering wheel controls. Even
I think these are like very mutually exclusive things.
I don't know that I have a seek button. I don't know that I use it.
What button?
Seek.
So I'm a big fan of satellite radio.
Right.
I have like super ADHD, so I like channel surfing all the time. And I don't stay on one song for more than 30 seconds.
Wow. Oh god, I am fortunate to only have spent time with you as a pedestrian then.
I guess there are switches there. I mean, I should probably share my screen, but nobody's going to care because it's over. There are like switches to go like left and right, which might change the station if I was in Apple CarPlay. I just don't. More often than not, I listen to podcasts or audiobooks. So
my wife's CX-5 now is.
Goes forward your song, which you can't do on the radio, but you can reverse in some stations on satellite.
Okay.
Not change the channel.
Oh, I know you're showing that. Yeah. Anyways, my wife's CX-5 for the first time is now having this problem where it always thinks that there's somebody in the passenger seat if they don't have their seatbelt on.
Yes. This one and other Mazdas I have, I drove it does it in the back too. Because my son's kid was sitting in the back.
Better not do it in the back.
Sat in the left seat, and the Mazda was thinking that he's in the middle seat, so he had to buckle the seat belt of the middle seat and of the right seat.
She just drives around with the passenger seat buckled now.
Oh my gosh. It's
never had this problem before. But
so in a different Mazda that I had, my daughter was in the passenger seat. I stopped to drop her off. I didn't put it into park.
Mm.
I just stopped. She got out, unbuckled, got out, and closed the door, and was beeping the whole time because it thought it was still there.
Yeah. And that is the Japanese company anti-seatbelt things last forever. The Suburban dings a total of 5 times if they think a seat, like if we pull away from the house, my wife hasn't had a chance to put her seatbelt on yet, and we get to the stop sign at the other street, she hasn't got on yet. The Suburban will ding only 5 times and stop. Where the Sequoia will go literally for like 90 seconds at a pace, increase the pace. Like, I get it.
And some of them will shut off your radio too.
Oh yeah,
seriously.
It'll progressively lower the supers will lower the volume until or like basically force you.
So much for freedom, you know.
Dude, I've reached the age where I'm doing that on my own anyway. I can't see. Let me turn down the radio, like
all the time.
Sorry, Ross, it's coming.
I've been doing that since I was like 17. So, Camille, how's the Bronco?
The Bronco's great. No update. You know what's really great about the Bronco is this is my second brand new car in my life, and I don't buy new cars because my dealership experience sucks so much. But I ordered this car from a small local dealership, not like a chain. They have a Mazda, Lincoln, and a Ford. The owner is in every day, and these guys have been like super nice. Century Ford in outside of Boston. I'm going to give them a plug for the 5 listeners that they have. But every kind of warranty issue that I had, they took care of right away. I had an issue, for instance, with the transfer case. I just got a check engine light on.
Really?
because I get the quote unquote advanced transfer case, which allows you to have the auto four wheel drive that we mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want my wife to drive in all wheel drive when possible.
Right.
In a foul.
Right.
I don't expect it. And then, you know, it gets harder to if you're in four wheel drive, loads get harder to turn and everything. You know what I mean? So this was a better family thing. But it threw a check engine light on me when I was going down a steep snowy hill in four wheel drive low. And I went back to the dealer twice for it. And what I'm scared of is they fixed it with a software upgrade.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, how the hell am I going to fix that 10 years from now? But other than that, my soft top came, it's like a 3-layer soft top, and it started coming apart.
Is it the standard soft top or the upgrade one?
It's a standard soft top.
Okay.
There was only one soft top.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm thinking of Jeep. Never mind. Scratch that.
Yes. You're thinking of the Wrangler.
The
new Wranglers only have one soft top now.
Yeah.
But it started delaminating. They're like, we got a new, they're giving me a whole new assembly for the soft top, which is amazing. They took care. I have a window switch issue where there's like a rubber tip in the end, and they're like, yep, here's your, they're really cool about it. They're not complaining about it.
But
about anything.
Did you have an existing relationship with this dealer?
Nope.
Okay. You just went in and...
I ordered online on the second day that it became available.
Yeah. Just
remember, I mean, on the first day that the pre-order website crashed?
It was inaccessible.
Yes. So I did it the next day in the morning, and then this is how it's done.
How many issues have you had that have had to be addressed?
The transfer case and the soft top. The
two.
back windows have little snaps on them when you go to remove them,
mm-hmm.
and they were just breaking away. Fairly common issue.
What else?
On the Broncos. That's it? No other issue? Was there something else?
I feel like there was, but I...
Soft tap transfer case?
Front license plate placement. The last time you were on, that was a big deal. Which is why when Ross asked you if Massachusetts needed a front plate, I was like, dude, we spent like 30 minutes on this last time.
So the front license plate in the factory Bronco, if you can find a picture, is in the middle on top of the bumper. If you go back to the picture of mine, I got a really cool bracket that puts it to the bottom right, and it looks almost factory.
But
it's only on the module bumper, but if I want fog lights, I can use it with fog lights.
I took my Canadian license plate and bent it so that it fits around my bumper.
I think allegedly.
Not allegedly.
It happened by itself.
I don't know what's going to happen.
It's fully displayed as it should be. Good God, that looks fucking terrible. And then for the people listening, imagine the license plate on the Bronco is immediately below the middle of Bronco instead of immediately below the front bumper.
To mount this, they have to drill your bumper. And in this picture, that's the steel... multi-piece bumper with the end caps getting removed.
So drill into that?
Well, that's awful.
Procedure. So the first thing I told them at the dealership is do not drill my bumper.
Yeah.
And zip tie the license plate for the purposes of the inspection. They did that. And then I got a really cool bumper. I'm sorry, got a really cool bracket for the bumper. And I don't see, I can't say that I've seen another one like mine.
Yeah, front plates are a weird thing because
I'm slow.
It's so easy to obsess over the front plate stuff. But like in the grand scheme of life, it doesn't matter. You know, I spent days, if not months, trying to figure out how I was going to mount my front plate on the Lexus. And
so,
when you do like, you know, forest from the trees kind of bird's eye perspective, it's like, it doesn't.
So originally I was going to be like, well, if I get pulled over for having no front license plates, a $50 ticket or something like this, I'll just eat it up. However, in Massachusetts, they actually, for reasons I don't understand, qualify it as some kind of a moving violation almost, where you get not an insurance for it.
Good God, really?
Yeah.
I mean, however, plate, yeah. It'll be points next time.
However, we have no red light cameras, so I'll take that.
For now.
For now. They're actually...
crying myself sleep.
We have like three in the metro area, and people are... Like, they're giant warnings that it's photo enforced, but they've never moved beyond those three.
We're in testing. We're in the testing phase. I guess that's the good perk of driving press cars.
Nope, they are going to send those tickets back to you.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah, no.
We could probably see your face in that picture. Just for us driving in ZX2. Hey.
Yeah, me and a Chevy Trailblazer RS.
Is that the blue one?
The Trailblazer?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I sent. And
okay.
Yeah. Three-cylinder engines sound better than six-cylinder engines, I will say. Sounds like a bike. We'll talk about this at a different show.
Later point.
And I sent you in a message the link to the G500. Oh. I was talking about.
There it is.
Please show.
Put me back in Facebook.
I'm sending you all over social media today.
List of things to talk about.
Did this?
The only thing I
remember about these things is it's got to be a Lieberman video, but he was talking about like the length of kilometers of wiring in them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
I doubt it.
But that's not the era of Mercedes that was doing, like, this is a few years post biodegradable wiring. So that should be reasonably okay.
My favorite things about these is I had a local guy who had one, but the frame was like from 1994 and the body was this era. And he
they're Legos. I mean, they're
mashed together.
Very expensive Legos.
A couple of years ago, I did the review of the G63 here on Hooniverse. And it was the worst driving car ever. Yeah, it made me hate the damn thing. So what they did is they took a military vehicle with a full-size frame, put, 600 horsepower into it, and 22-inch wheels, and it was understeering. Going straight, just at every single curve you could imagine. It was scary taking a curve in that thing. I don't know how people drive it. Yeah, this one is not perfect.
Is it sad that the subwoofer gives me more concern than anything else?
I asked him about that. He said it's a quality professional installation, which I'm kind of cringy about. I'm going to go look at it with an open mind. I think I'm gonna love it.
I'm gonna look at it with an open mind, says the guy who is going to go in with utmost skepticism, or at least I fucking hope that you will. I drove a 2021.
Yeah, I was like, I will support Camille's bad decision here.
Oh, same. Thank you. Same as the.
You can only learn from me.
As the closest Hooniverse representative to Camille, should things
because this is what it could become
absolutely
Ross.
Terribly. I hold myself liable to be party.
You don't even need a lift kit to put 30 degrees on.
Awesome.
So this was at one of my kids' flag football games in the parent parking lot.
That's like an LR3 or an LR4 with like. The air suspension at the top are like a lift and good tires. They look so cool.
Tell me about Ron's truck.
I read up on the engine. The engine is the M113 engine.
Okay.
Three valves and two spark plugs per cylinder.
Three valves and two spark plugs per cylinder.
Yeah. So it's got 16 spark plugs. issues with it are. Timing chain sometimes gets loose, so you have to. It's not the guy
jumps a tooth or loses a tooth.
Neither, it just gets loose.
Just like shit. Not a belt. The chain gets loose.
It's a tensioner. Well, timing chains are a huge problem in many German cars.
Yes. A
whole lot.
Hello, they can never get V8, S, and RS4. Actually, no, the RS4, they unfuck that. But
other than that, they have a transmission issue that's easily... It's a repair that becomes almost routine, like every 80,000 miles or so. There's a transmission control module inside the transmission. It's like $200 to replace it. You got to drop the pan. There isn't, other than the stupid electronic stuff, there isn't that much to them.
Huh.
So I'm dangerously like optimistic about it.
I'm rooting for you.
Where is it located?
It's right
Boston.
In Boston.
It's right in your fanway.
It's downtown even.
yeah. But the guy doesn't drive it. He's got another car.
Well, I'm here for you.
You're here for my emotional support. Can you support me financially with my bad decision?
I can't support you financially, and I also can't promise any kind of immediate vehicular response should
assistance
go poorly, but. I mean,
it's the shortest video ever. He just steps behind it.
Yeah, the guy
is super nice. He seems straight up. I don't feel like it's been just well maintained. And it had like four previous owners.
For 20 years? I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, wheels are easy.
11, 13. That's worse than that's like Sequoia.
So reason number 76 why I sold the Land Cruiser, that's pretty much what it was getting.
12 to 13.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, if I wanted a fuel efficient car, I have a Prezka right now. It's a Corolla hybrid all wheel drive.
How nice. Is that?
Put a little bit more effort into it and it'll be so much better. First of all, it's loud. And that noise, it doesn't have enough sound deadening to make it louder and cheaper, obviously.
But loud compared to hybrid. What? Like 20 years ago, compared to the same car 20 years ago, it would be, this is...
It's loud compared to the Mazda CX-30. How about that?
Okay, those are
then
surprisingly well... NVH.
You're not making my point. Okay. Just go with me here. Okay? The other problem is you've got the ICE engine starting and going. Here's on a highway, that engine keeps turning on and off almost constantly. And when it turns on, it must have like a really light flywheel on it because it zooms up right away to like 2,000-3,000 RPMs on the highway. And you feel it go on and off constantly. It has a technometer for reasons the hell knows. One thing that thing doesn't need is a technometer. So I'm a little bit disappointed with the system overall.
It's interesting.
But
because...
other than that, it's a great car. So the ICE powers the front wheels. The electric motors power the rear wheels like the RAV4. Pretty clever design. Great miles per gallon. But I'm not in love with it.
Did you... ask for this one, or did they just give it to you?
They just gave it to
you. You should follow up and try to get a new Prius to see how it compares, because I haven't driven either, but from the people that I talk to, it sounds like the refinements have really been, like, not that anybody ever complained about severe or extreme harshness, you know, from that powertrain, or at least from the front-wheel drive powertrain version of it. But in the new Prius, supposedly it is new ball game.
I think they elevated the Prius. And they made this, which is a Corolla, which is entry level hybrid, and it makes total sense. I also think it's a little bit bigger than the Prius. This reminded me how much I begin not to like cars because I feel so damn cramped in it, and showing my age, but to get in and out of it, it's like a damn chore.
Preaching to the choir here.
Dude.
It's like, everybody's like, why do people buy SUVs? The SUVs suck. Yeah, but they're comfortable.
Yeah.
getting into the new Colorado is not the easiest thing, I will say. Especially with the...
That you're short.
I am short, and that it's not a good... Like, my brother was like... He's taller than me. He was like, oh, this is no bueno. But, yeah, the Corolla is not... The Corolla is... So there's a new Camry, but it's a revised version of the existing Camry. The Corolla, they're gonna do the same thing with it. Like, they're just gonna overhaul it and, you know, press print.
The Corolla is relatively new. I think it's been out for like 2 years and it's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Time's flying, bud.
You know what's shocking is that Ford already facelifted the F-150. Which I feel was just introduced like a year or two ago.
Like last year. They literally went F-150 Super Duties and now they're back to F-150. They'll go right back to the Super Duty. Like
2018 for the current Corolla.
But there's been a lot of updates to it.
Yeah.
The only I've only paid attention to the GR and the XSE hatch with the stick. Which I would love to daily. If I ever end up with a long commute again, that's top.
I like the hatch. It has like 180 horsepower. It's like an Integra did in the 90s.
It's like with the power normal, pedestrian cars supposed to have.
We don't need more than that, but I didn't say that. So one thing I'm looking for in my next car is a V8 engine. Everything I look at, except for the cars that don't have it, have a V8 engine.
Do you want a 2018 GX460?
I can't afford your GX460. I would love it. Oh, you saw the one I was bidding on.
I did.
That was such a great buy. The guy got it for $20,500. The thing had $30,000 of new work and miles on it. Yes, it had almost 200,000 miles on it.
There
was one owner, garage kept, super clean, never off-road, with $30,000 worth of crap added onto it. I got a story behind it. All right, this is going to blow your mind. All right, you ready for this?
Hit us.
So I was bidding against another guy on it. 3 days later, you go by, I get a call on WhatsApp, which nobody ever gets a call on WhatsApp, right?
You have WhatsApp? I don't.
Yeah, everybody has WhatsApp except you.
Okay? Yes.
So, I do.
Let's move on.
I get a call. Ooh, Chris, can you punch in? I just want to see what wheels those are. I'm considering things.
Can I finish my
story? Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
The guy who won this car calls me up. He's like, hey, what do you think about that Lexus? I'm like, hey, I think it's really good. Because my friend told me that it has 200,000 miles on it and it's all rusted and it's going to fall apart and that I'm just buying a whole bunch of parts on it and I got to put it into a different car.
What?
So I'm like, all right, my man, what are you from? I live in Phoenix. I'm like, all right, that explains
it. Tells a lot of stories right there.
Virginia. This car was like in Virginia and Maryland. So apparently this is rusted to these people.
And I'm like it's super clean.
I'm like, no, dude, this is how they look brand new on a dealer lot. Toyota's rusted and they're exposed to air.
My 5-year-old truck looked like that.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, rust isn't your issue. And I'm like, yes, it has 200,000 miles on it, but it's got a history of having oil change, transmission fluid change, differential
owner
change.
Owner cared. The owner gave many shits.
Yes. And the owner didn't modify it. The story was that it was his wife's car, always garage kept, all highway miles. Because how do you put on 200,000 miles on the car in a matter of 6 years? You only drive it there and somewhere, there and back, right? And then...
Meter.
They sold the business that it was under or something like that. And he's like, he came into some extra money, so he was going to have fun with it. So he spent literally, there's an invoice at the end of the picture that says,
it's like, sums it crazy.
Up for $30,000.
It's fucking
done
crazy.
Within a year ago. And I regret not buying this thing. I mean, even there's all high-end stuff, like the ARB double compressor. There's no cheap stuff in here. The suspension is all legit with the control arms.
Is it Dobinson's or was it? Was it Dobinson's suspension on that? I
don't remember, but I remember it
yeah.
being really.
I mean, the thing about the off road world and I mean it.
Wait, hold on, I didn't finish my story.
Sorry.
So the guy calls me up. So the guy calls me up, and he's like, well, because I'm really nervous. I'm like, listen, go check it out. if you don't like it, give me a call and we can talk about it, or have the owner call me. Because at that point, I was like, no, I really want it. I could have talked this guy out of it. I know I could have. It even had, you know what else it had? It had an extended range fuel tank.
When long was range the last America.
Time you ever see?
Huh? It's long range
when
America.
Did you ever see anyone do this? The guy went to the off-road place and be like, do everything, and just wrote them a check. All right?
I could buy a Land Cruiser, but instead I'm going to put my money into the vehicle I own.
And it's a great vehicle. I mean, you know. Anyway, so this guy was like doubting himself. No, I'm like, no, it's really good. Go buy it. Turns out that the owner was super nice guy. The car is in super condition. He even filled up that extended range fuel tank for him for his drive. And the owner, because I told him, I'm like, what are you going to be doing with it? He's like, well, I bought some land in Costa Rica, and I want to take this. I've been shopping out for a while, and I'm going to drive this to Costa Rica and live from a tent on the roof on it.
That's and I'm fucking like, awesome.
There's only one problem with this. You've got a shiny Lexus in South America. I'm like, just do something to make it not stand out as much.
By the time he gets down there, it won't be as shiny.
Right. I've been talking to the new buyer, and he loves it. He loved it right away.
And they'll throw so hard.
The seller big old
a really nice guy.
There he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah. So
the fun part will be in the actual show. Camille won't freeze because he's uploading his own shit.
And so Chris and I'll just be like,
we're gonna look like jerks talking to Camille while he's making a point.
No, frozen Camille.
But
well, we welcome you to the GX community whenever it is time that you would like to become one of us.
I just sold a GX, except it was better than yours. It was a predecessor to yours.
The Prado.
It was so great that you got rid of it after a year.
So let's talk about this, because you guys wanted to talk about the new Land Cruiser. And I don't have the time right now, but I was going to write an article of how the first generation Prado and the current upcoming Land Cruiser are exactly the same car, and Toyota hasn't done jack shit to them. Let me explain to you. All right? Yes.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
They're the same car. Okay, let me break it down for you. The new Land Cruiser that's coming up is exactly the same as the Toyota Prado. It's like a Porsche 911. They never really changed, but it's all new. All right. Follow me here. Okay? Prado, 2 seats in the front, 3 seats in the middle, 2 seats in the back, 7 passenger. Land Cruiser, 235. You're with me so far, right?
Yeah.
Engine, Prado. 3.4 liter V6, 90 degrees apart. New Land Cruiser, 3.4 liter V6, 90 degrees apart. Yes, it has 2 turbochargers on it, whatever. Okay? You're still with me, right?
Transmission, it's a 90 degree V6? Okay.
This one has 8 speeds, this one has 4, but you understand the theory. You get to the four-wheel drive system now. The same full-time four-wheel drive system, lacking center differential, 4 high, 4 low.
Lock and rear diff if you want it to be locked.
Limited slip diff if you want it to. The same goddamn thing. The tailgate opens differently now. Big whoop. But the philosophy
opens way
the same. And I guarantee you that if you go to like the third generation 4Runner, you go to the Prado, and then you go to that new Land Cruiser, it's like driving a CJ7 and driving a Wrangler. There's going to be a lot of similarities there. Say yes.
I'm not going to say no.
The Toyota does not change their philosophy when it comes to that.
So, isn't the Land Cruiser a hybrid system, though?
No, it's a turbo.
No,
four.
It's a twin turbo V6 on a Lexus.
Right.
So Lexus is a twin turbo V6, but then there's also the hybrid Max.
I thought that was the LC250 was getting the hybrid, which was the Turbo 4.
I think you can get the Turbo 4, IMAX, and then...
We're professionals. We should really know
this. We should know this. Sorry.
Some of us only moonlight in this category. Sorry.
Yeah. So, Camille, what do you make of the relationship between the 250 and the 550, the GX550? Because the relationship in the...
Standard Toyota practice. When you had the GX, like yours, you had a V8 engine. When you go to the Toyota, you had the same thing, but you had a V6 engine. So there's always those two differences in powertrains. Other than that, the Lexus is just going to be nicer. It's going to have a different tailgate.
But What do you interpret of the changing brand positioning? Because GX and Land Cruiser were never two and the same in America.
Yes. And the problem is that the fifth generation 4Runner really became the Land Cruiser. Both almost in terms of size. If you, especially if you go to the 180 series. Hold on. The Land Cruiser grew to be a little bit too big and certainly was like more expensive, and it just wasn't selling well. They needed to bring it back down where it was within reach, mm-hmm. because then you have the confusion of the Tundra, the Sequoia, and the Land Cruiser. Like, why do you have the same two cars, basically? So they needed to separate that gap first. Okay?
They're backtracking.
They are. And this is why they have, there's a two-year gap, because they couldn't introduce it right after killing the big Land Cruiser 200, because then you would have a price issue. You would have a lot of new owners who are pissed off. It just wasn't working. And it's also the same reason why they're not bringing the 300 Land Cruiser here, because then you're sabotaging yourself and you're killing your Lexus product.
And they've remediated that by putting the Land Cruiser, the non-domestic Land Cruiser, on the 300 chassis and offering it here as the Sequoia and the LX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why we still get the LX, because there is no Lexus Sequoia.
Right. But the Sequoia is more practical, it's the TX for most people. Now, the real question is, what's going to happen to the 4Runner? And I think I know the answer, but I'm probably wrong.
Oh, God. I hope the general public is wrong in terms of what they think the 4Runner will be. What do you think is going to happen?
Here's what I want to happen. But Toyota is so goddamn conservative and just cautious and careful. I want the next 4Runner to go back to the first generation 4Runner and have a removable top.
Yep, manual removable top.
Bronco Runner.
Two doors.
And then you're across all fields. I don't think the Toyota has the guts to do that.
I think they're more likely to do a, and they've shown, quote unquote, shown, there have been silhouette teasers of another FJ-esque vehicle.
That was during the electrification announcement?
Yeah.
No, the 250, the Land Cruiser launch, there was, yeah. You know, like...
I don't think they're going to come up with a model that has a removable top.
No chance.
If you look at the Bronco, if you look at the Jeep Wrangler too, the tops are one of the most problematic things for both of those companies. Toyota doesn't like their problem.
Yeah, and that's also why Jeep sells a buttload of the power soft tops, the one touch, whatever.
The one touch power top.
I spend a lot of time with that because I have a good friend who let me borrow one. I had it in the winter. The problem with the one-touch power top is in the summer, you can't really take the top off. And in the winter, you don't really have the hard top. You don't have the quietness. You have a lot of wind noise coming
through. The insulation. Yeah.
Yes. So I like the idea. My mom has the Wrangler with the power top because I told her to get it. But after spending some time with it, I'm really...
You're like, sorry, Mom.
The keys. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and she's in Jersey, right?
Yeah. To get both the hardtop with the liner and a softtop. And then go to your semi-annual hardtop softtop.
Right. Toyota's doing a Jeep Wrangler. Toyota is not going to and probably never will again play that game of multiple top options.
We also said that they weren't going to bring back the Supra.
Yeah,
well,
but
they didn't.
But that's,
BMW released a Z, whatever.
Outsourced.
But that's okay.
It's possible.
I don't think there will be a soft top Toyota product again in the next.
Maybe they can come up with something interesting. Here's where Ford screwed up with the Bronco. You know what Ford should have done, and they only didn't because they put a spare tire on the tailgate. Jeep's biggest problem is the soft top, where the window flipping up on zippers mm-hmm. just sucks. Ford solved that, but you can actually lift the whole back end of the soft top.
You just set up a mousetrap?
Imagine,
was that?
Huh? I hit my printer. Because I'm excited.
It sounded like you touched a mousetrap or something. Like, oh, shit.
No. A printer. All right. Imagine. Let's say you have a Jeep Wrangler or a Bronco, whatever. And the back window rolls down into the tailgate like it does on the 4Runner. But then you have a soft top, too.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Toyota did this in like the 50th or 60th generation Land Cruiser that had a hard top, but the rear back doors were split. So you could take the hard top off and you have the windows. You'd have to physically remove the windows from it. But imagine that window rolling down into the tailgate like the second or first gen, like the first generation 4Runner. That would solve a lot of problems. And then you have a flip down tailgate.
That's one of the biggest complaints. And I mean,
well, I just sold it for everybody. I want my goddamn money, all right?
Yeah, you're a future product planner.
But Ford had a choice. They could have done that, but you can't do that and put a spare tire on. You would need to have a separate tire carrier because then your door doesn't become strong enough. So then you would have to open the tire carrier and then lower the top. But if you can put a tire under the 4Runner has it now, and like the Lexus and the Land Cruiser have, you can have that tailgate with the drop window and you can make that a soft.
I missed the roll down rear window severely.
Yeah, you don't have that on the Lexus.
Sequoia has it. I don't know if the new one does, but mine does.
Engine Tundra.
Do you get a lot of like exhaust fumes from it?
From the roll down rear window?
The roll down window.
I've never had.
I smelled a lot of exhaust.
I've had some, Camille. Like, I've had some where I've been like, I got to roll the window up. Wind or whatever.
You know why yours didn't have that exhaust smell? My 4Runner, it was a 2010. The exhaust would come out to the side.
Really?
No, it would come out back.
Like,
it would come out to the back. Yours, the newer one, would
turn to the left? Side. Like, turn to the passenger side?
That was a change, yes. Your exhaust bent to the passenger side, but the first ones came out straight back, and that exhaust would come back inside.
I have to think about this because one of my 4Runners kind of didn't have an exhaust.
Yeah, the white
one. I have two images. Let me open real fast.
The perfect
of course, the second one's tiny.
Vehicle has a roll down rear window and a simultaneously also removable full hard top roof section.
Have you seen the Ford Bronco from the 90s?
Yeah. And the K5 Blazer.
There you go. There's your car. And it's got a spare tire in the
back.
Yeah. So, rear.
Yes. And then there's some
models
that have the exhaust coming to the side. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Same generation.
And those third window packs are fucking stupid.
Toyota also removed the... Mine had an antenna in the front fender. They removed that later on.
For a fin?
No. In the front fender for AM, FM.
Mm. Right. But then they replace it with a fin up top. You said when they removed it.
They embedded it in one of the windows. Because mine had a fin for satellite.
I think they've integrated that all into one unit now.
I don't know.
But
the Sequoia definitely has it in a window too.
Yeah.
Because there's no radio antenna.
I don't think you can put an AM FM into a fan.
I'm trying to think about where it is in the Suburban.
I'm running out of
steam
brain on this.
We've been yapping for almost 2 hours.
it's a long episode. Yeah. We're 1:30 already.
We're coming up on 11 o'clock. My brother has a 5th-gen 4Runner. I'll have to ask him. He
asked the important question. Where's your antenna?
Hey, Spen.
You know the Prado had pop-out windows that the 4Runner did.
So when I googled Suburban AM/FM antenna, all that comes up is my fin that I have right above the cab of the truck. That white, I've got a white sharp fin right on the front of it.
We have a homework assignment for you. Go find out where your antenna is.
Yeah, it's definitely late because my Googling sucks now. I can't even find stuff anymore.
It's definitely late because I'm spiraling on jokes that I can't say.
The Bronco is great. The Prado, I loved it, but I didn't like it. It's gone. I'm looking at replacement for literally everything. I have no idea what I'm going to get.
G-Wagon.
I don't think so.
What about a 470?
I'm open to it. It's in my top five, but it's like it's kind of the same thing.
It's a fourth gen 400. Yeah, it's really
fast. You do mention top five GX.
Dude, you have a whole spreadsheet. I don't know where it is.
Well, you just said top five. I figured it was five.
So, Grand Cherokee V8. I know Russ is not a fan of it. Post 140.
Do you call? I will give you my dad's phone number. You can talk to him.
Yes, I know.
Wait, hold on real fast. Your Ford dealer, what were the other brands they had? It wasn't Jeep, was it?
Mazda and Lincoln.
Okay, so yeah, not Jeep.
I wouldn't buy it from a dealer. I had no choice in buying a new car.
Right.
I got the GX in there. I've looked at a Lexus, both the LX and the GX. I'm open-minded to both of them. I stopped looking at Land Cruisers because people selling Land Cruisers are an obvious crack.
Yes.
And they just think that they have 300,000 miles on them and they're brand new cars. No, they're not. I'm considering at least on a WRX because they're super cheap.
WRX leases are shockingly cheap.
Yes.
Because nobody likes the way they look, so nobody's buying them. So these rates are good.
Regardless. And they're so much better than the previous
generation. How far are you willing to go to get something?
Depends on the car. I have flexibility and time because I actually have a car. I have two cars. I didn't mention the other car that I have. My mom gave my daughter a 2006 Acura MDX with 170
miles. Oh, you did tell me. Perfect. I don't know if you told us about that. You definitely told me about that.
You said 2006?
Yes.
Is that
my sister's still MDX? Driving my mom's?
That's like,
yeah.
Go into my Instagram again. You'll see that I polished the headlights to remove the haze.
Yeah,
I installed a radio with the CarPlay into
those. Those are great cars.
No, it wasn't in as great as condition as my mom told me it would be.
Her husband didn't. In general, they're great cars. I'm not saying the specific one that your daughter is now driving is.
This one, there's paint peeling on it. It's a little too rusty.
It's your first car. She doesn't need it to be perfect.
But I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that took me about something to clear those headlights. It was a 5-minute job. I literally went to like a parts store, got a headlight cleaner, and the goddamn thing worked like a miracle.
Yeah,
I paid someone $200 to do it on one of my old cars.
Yeah, but now everybody knows that it's just basically sandpaper and like a nice, you know.
This was just like liquid.
Yeah,
I was blown away. So I'm driving that, although it's in my friend's shop right now because it kept throwing a check engine. Like the EVAP systems on those things suck.
Oh, God. Smoke test. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it's been pretty good so far. So I'm in no hurry, although I don't think I want to buy anything before the end of the year because I have so much stuff going on. So I'm going to start looking casually. I calculated this. I can travel anywhere in continental 48 states. And be home if I fly out like Thursday night, I can be home by Sunday night from anywhere, as long as the car doesn't crap out.
And that is
but it's got to be a decent car. And I'm open to a lot of things. I just want one thing the Land Cruiser taught me is that I want something interesting.
Yeah,
and not something like that's why the Jeep is kind of like.
Well, if you find something in a weird part of the country and the trek back passes through Connecticut, you buy my ticket and I'm your second driver.
You live an hour away from me. I don't need to fly out to California and buy a car over there to go see you.
Well,
it's a shame.
But if you do find a car in California or fucking Oklahoma and you want to drive it back, tell me.
Why, you're gonna go come fly out with me and drive it back with me?
Maybe.
That's like the car guy dream, isn't it? Fly in, buy it, and drive it home. Like
I've done that with a car.
Because then, then you're depending on the jackass who had it before you.
Yeah.
That's actually what he says it is.
Also, but you have skills. Take tools. You'll be okay.
I have 5 days of PVO to burn between now and New Year's, so fucking find someone.
Yeah, but he said after the New Year, or else you're already screwed.
Well, I'm saying now, so.
I have like 4 weeks of PVO that I can take off. Don't even get me started.
Well, if miracles happen and it happens between now and New Year's,
the problem is I don't have the time that I can actually go and do this. For all the reasons that I know you're familiar with.
Well, we'll do a handoff. Chris can drive it the first stint, then hand it off to me. I'll drive the next, and then you can drive it home.
I mean, dumber things have happened.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident all three of us have
this has legs.
Things.
If you see something cool for a reasonable amount of money, one thing I've learned between the Prado and this MDX is that I'm actually really handy.
And yeah.
I can fix a lot of stuff. Like, I worked as a mechanic for a few years. And I forgot that I have tools and that I know how to use them. And I actually have some skills that a lot of the new technicians don't, which is like troubleshooting shit.
Yeah.
And we have Google now.
The electrical background in your brain matters a lot.
The fact that you're also...
I fix anything electrical other than putting a radio in.
The electrical engineer part of your pre-wired sensibility has...
You troubleshooting know, matters.
Some kind of bearing on whether you can figure shit out or not. So
I'm actually surprised myself a few times. It's like, yeah, I can do this. It's like, remember that commercial? It was like a commercial for erectile dysfunction, but it was like a 50 guy at work. It was like a 50-year-old guy at work after hours.
Wow, I did not
running some kind of a print company, and he was there after hours by himself. And the print machine just stopped, and there was nobody else to fix it. So he went downstairs, he rolled up his sleeve, and he fixed it himself. And it's like, hey, it feels like you're 20 years old again. That's pretty much what I've discovered with myself about cars.
What does it have to do with
my tool?
That was just what the commercial was, Ross.
20 years.
Yeah.
I opened my toolbox that I haven't touched in 20 years, and I'm like, God damn, this is nicely organized, man. That guy was who last touched it, he had his shit together.
That's fantastic.
Wow, we are really in the weeds now.
I'll wrap it up real fast.
I think I could count.
What you get when
you've done a lot of shows. I could probably count on one hand the number of times we've talked about erectile dysfunction. I'm not mad to say that sentence.
Yep. So rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Camille, do you want them to follow you anywhere? Because you're...
I'm like done with social media.
Yeah, you're
good.
Yeah, don't.
I do want to write more. I'm in the middle of writing like 4 articles, and I can't get myself to finish every one of them.
ChatGPT.
It's pathetic.
ChatGPT. Copy paste. Finish this
just,
for me.
Just to at least get the backbone of it, and then you can actually put your spin on it.
One of them is actually written. I just need to add pictures, and it's been a week, and I haven't added those 10 pictures.
What's that phrase? Perfection is the enemy of progress, or whatever that is. Something. Just do it.
My next article, okay?
Just do it.
Just to give you a tip, I'm using an OBD2 scanner on an 89 BMW E30 to scan its fault codes.
How?
I'll leave you with that.
That's what the article's for, Ross.
Yeah. It's a mind blow.
Okay.
It's a mind blow.
Concerned.
And it worked.
And.
Mm-hmm.
When you post it, I'll read it.
Yeah. It's going to go viral to like at least 20
yes.
people.
That sounds about right for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about.
The
yep,
E30
that's our speed.
In question has a virus. That's how it goes viral.
It's that time of year, too. Everyone's got kids in school. We're all viral.
Oh, my God. I watched, like, 3 children when I was picking my daughter up today just be, like, sneezing on each other. Fuck.
Oh, this is only the beginning.
Yeah, dude. You haven't even got the real school
the
yet.
Magic word. Lice.
Lice?
Yeah, lice. I just watched an episode of The League where they have lice.
And your kid has so much hair.
She has more. She's 18 months old. She has more hair now than I've ever had in my whole life combined.
Dude, all my kids were bald till they were like 2, and your kid has more hair than all of them combined.
My kid was sitting there trying to eat her dinner, going like this, brushing her hair out of her face. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, oh, have I lost more hair up here?
Dude, I'm 46. This is the only thing I get going for me right now.
46, you're lucky you got that much. I'll be happy if I have this much when I'm 34, which is...
Just stop stressing.
Yeah.
Stop stressing.
If I'm 36 and I have hair above my beard and my mustache, it'll be a happy day.
Russ, I don't know if you heard Camille. He told you to stop stressing. If you stop stressing, we wouldn't be able to communicate because that's literally all we communicate about is the amount of stress.
You just bent to each other.
We talk about, for the last few months, we've been talking about such and such cancels the show. Let's reschedule. And also, our kids are causing the stress. What kind of stress? Oh, how much stress? Oh, it's that much stress? Oh, no, it's that much stress.
You don't notice, but you're each other's therapist.
Pretty much.
It's actually scary.
Yeah.
Because it's a move for grown-ass men to talk about mental health.
Yeah, but I also have a therapist that I see.
But yes.
So.
But I think us as middle-aged men should really be more comfortable with the topic and address it at some point.
Definitely.
I agree with that. I think we should be all comfortable in our skins and comfortable with talking about how insecure and fucked up we all feel and are.
But then we wouldn't be buying cars with big tires. But hold on. You did something to me that I did to other people. It's like one day you texted me. It's like, are you okay? Because I haven't heard from you in a while. And that was super cool. I did that? You did. Oh,
I didn't do it. I didn't have time.
Hey, I mean, you know, check in on your homies.
You got it, right?
Yeah, I know everybody goes through shit and everybody's got, you know, tough shit. And I certainly got my shit and my friends all got their shit. So, you know, look after your friends.
A lot of shit.
Look after your friends.
That's a great place to stop because I still have to edit this to get this posted for tomorrow.
Yeah, just title the episode, Look After Your Friends.